All right, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome, everybody, here this morning. It's good to see everybody here. I just want to take the opportunity to thank the elders to give me the opportunity to kind of go through a Bible class here. Now, remember, this is a Bible class. That means I expect participation. If not, I like to pick on people. I like to just ask you questions and point you out. So be ready to read some. I might just ask somebody to read it out randomly, or I might pick you specifically. It just depends. Before we start, I'm going to ask Brother Mike Bonner to lead us in a prayer. Amen. All right, this morning, have a lesson, talk about a little bit about how we as Christians, we should be different. Correct? Would you agree with that? We should be. Whenever we are out and about in the world, people should see us and notice that there should be something different about us. Whether it's in the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we interact with other people. As Christians, we are to be different. We're not supposed to blend in with the world. Correct? Now, how is it that we are supposed to be different? Somebody real quick. What was that? Set aside. Thank you. You're right, we are set aside. Now, what are we compared to in the Bible as Christians? What is something we are when we're in this darkness? Light. Thank you. How many of you have been in a really dark spot before? Whether room, cave, pretty sure everybody. If you light a light, a match, a candle, whatever it is, doesn't matter how small it is, you can actually see that for a long distance. Why? Because the light is so different from the darkness. It distinguishes itself. You can say, look, that's a light right there. And a lot of times people are attracted to that light. Just like that light, we as Christians should be the light of the world. You have to remember that this world is lost in darkness, is it not? It is. It's a place full sometimes of sadness, desolation, hardships, and a lot of times people are looking for some relief, some asylum, you can say, someplace safe, and we as Christians should be that light for those people. This morning's lesson is, be not conformed to this world, and discriminate between right and wrong. So as Christians, we should not be conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed? Somebody. What was that again? Fit in. What else? Somebody? Change to? There's no right or wrong answer. I just want to see what answers you have. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't make yourself just a part of it to fit into it like nothing's different between you and the world. As Christians, we are different. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we should be proud of our differences between us and the world. That's how God can distinguish us between the world. We have three verses we're going to start off with. I'm going to ask just three people to read these three different verses. First one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Somebody else, John 15:19. And one other person, Romans 12:2. A lot of people should know these verses, especially Romans 12:2. Start off with 1 Peter 2:9. Somebody has it. Thank you. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people that may proclaim the praises of him who called you out from darkness into his marvelous light. Whenever we read the Bible, how many of us actually read it? There's a difference between reading the Bible and reading the Bible, if you know what I mean. A lot of us, we have a tendency to just kind of skim through it. A lot of times we're reading it and next thing we know we're a few pages over, don't even remember what we read. It's always important to understand and really pay attention to what you read. But look at this here. It says, but you are, first of all, a chosen generation. Chosen by who? By God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Whose people? God's own, not just people, but special people. That you may proclaim His praises of Him who called you out of what? Darkness into His marvelous light. Now, does this sound like a person who is conformed to this world? Of course not. We are a special people. We are different. We should be different. That's something we should be proud of, not ashamed of. Sadly, many of us, at some point in our lives, as Christians, there have been a time or two where we feel sort of ashamed to call ourselves Christians, to maybe set ourselves apart from the rest of the world. It's easier to just go with the flow, as they say, is it not? Think of it this way. You are swimming in a river, which is the world. The current is going one way. That's where everybody's going. We have to swim against that current. Is it easier to swim with the current or against the current? It's so much easier to swim with the current. But as Christians, our job is to go a different way than the world. It is our job, you say it's our privilege, it is our duty, whatever you want to call it, but as Christians, we cannot be conformed to this world. We cannot say, I'm just going to go along with it. It's a lot easier to do that. If anybody ever told you being a Christian was easy, they lied to you. Because being a Christian is sometimes one of the hardest things to do. I mean, it's not as hard as it was maybe back then. We're not having to suffer persecution and be afraid of somebody to come into our house, drag us out, and take us away. But it's still not easy. Although there might still be parts of the world where brethren still go through that. But for us, here in this country, we honestly have it pretty easy. We really do. But sometimes it's just the pressure, maybe the way people will think about us, maybe the way people will look at us. For those of us that work with non-Christians, sometimes that's a little bit harder because we have to maybe hear the way they speak or just the way they act. And sometimes maybe that pressure of just wanting to fit in. Sometimes it reminds me of kind of like being back in high school or junior high. Y'all remember that? The pressure of just wanting to fit in, wanting not to be different because being different was weird. Being different was shunned upon. It's the same as Christians. Think about it being back in high school. We're that kid that everybody thinks is weird, that nobody wants to talk to. But it should be different. Do you think God wants people that are going to be conformed to this world? Of course not. How is He going to distinguish you from the world? Like I said, you are a light in a world full of darkness. And as such, you should shine brightly. Even the smallest light can be distinguished from a far distance in a place full of darkness. John 15:19. Whoever has it.
If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you.
Who's speaking here? Jesus. It says, if you were the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world, what? Hates you. It has been seen over and over throughout history how people, humanity in general, they usually fear what's not, what they don't understand. Not only do they fear it, they sometimes hate it. They shun it. Think about it. It's seen throughout history in our secular life. Things people don't understand, they tend to fear it, and so they turn against it. Great example, Christ. I mean, Christ was, to many people, back then, a threat. threat to their way of life, to their way of thinking. Christ came and changed everything, did he not? He did, and a lot of people could not accept that. A lot of people did not want to accept that. They turned on it, and they hated him because of it. Now we, what are we called? Christians. We are to be like Christ. Hence we take the name Christians. So, if the world hated Christ, what do you think they're going to do with us? They're going to hate us. Because we are different. Because we will not conform to this world. And that's the way it's always been throughout history. If you don't fall in line, if you don't go with flow, if you don't go along with the majority of thinking, people are not going to like you. People are going to hate you. Why? Because you're different. Simple as that, you could say. Why? Because you might threaten the way they think, the way they believe, their way of life. And as Christians, we should threaten that in people, not in a negative way, but people should see that I'm not just going to talk the way you talk because you talk the way you talk, just to make you feel better. I'm not going to act the way you act. I'm not going to think the way you think. I'm not just going to go with the flow because it makes everybody feel nice. That's right. Quick question. What is one of the biggest issues facing our country today? We talk about it, it's talked about quite a bit. What is been one of the biggest issues when it comes to equality? Somebody? Equality. Somebody? Thank you. Homosexual marriage. It's been such a big issue, in our country, especially these past few years, how, you know, everybody should have equal rights, and they should. But whenever it comes to the Word of God, it's the Word of God, that's the law. If He says it, that's what it is. Now, in this country, there's been a big uproar about it. People have gone to court, they've made laws about it, the country's been divided somewhat because of it. And a lot of people, sadly, a lot of Christians, decided to just go along with it because that's what everybody wants. Because that's what makes people feel good. They've conformed to this world's thinking because it's a lot easier to do. Now, we forget that homosexuality is a sin just like any other sin. And this is not something new to this world. I mean, this is something that's happened many times before. God has seen it before. He's dealt with it before. He's moved on, and it happens again. It just cycles through. But at this point, it's just, that's what people are talking about, so that's why it's made a big deal about it. But as Christians, is it our job to just go along with it, or to let people know what's right and what's wrong? It's our job to let people know what God thinks on the matter. Is it easy to do? No, sometimes not. The way things are going, it might be a point where talking about it or talking against it might be against the law. There might be several preachers, or there should be a lot of preachers in prison if that ever comes to happen. I know that sounds horrible, but I mean, it's the truth. We should never bend to the will of man before we bow down to God. Yes, it is easier to be a part of the world, but in the end, is it the best? No, it is not. We as Christians understand what's right and wrong. We really do. Especially all of us here are adults. We know the difference between right and wrong. Especially if you study the Bible, those of you who have been Christians many years know what is right and what is wrong. You know what it is to be part of the world, or to live in the world, but not be part of the world. Very good point. Thank you. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we've seen in these three verses how we are supposed to be different. We are called out of the world. We are going to be hated by the world. We should not be conformed to this world. Basically what it's saying here is we need to be different. As a Christian, people should see you and say, that person is different. He's not the same. He doesn't laugh at the jokes that I say, those inappropriate jokes. He doesn't join in those conversations. He doesn't act the way we act. He's not out at the bars. Things like that. Even the smart thing, just the way you act, the way you treat people should be different. As Christians. That's how the world can tell us apart. And sometimes being different can have a major impact on other people. People sometimes, aside from being afraid of what's different, a lot of people are actually curious. They might start to think, why is this person different? What does he have that I don't? Or why does he act this way? And people can start asking questions. A lot of times you can change somebody's life just by the way you act, the way you behave, the way you talk, and the way you treat people. Even before you start talking to them about God. But if you just go with the flow, if you just act like everybody else at work or at home or with family when you're outside of church, then how can they tell that you're any different? I've sadly heard before, talking to just people that are not Christians, like, you know, so-and-so is also a Christian, and they're surprised. Like, well, they're a Christian, really? I mean, they would have never known just by the way they act, the way they talk, the way, you know, where they see them sometimes. That is not being set apart. That is not being different. That is conforming to this world. And as Christians, we are not to what? Conform to this world. Worldliness is one of the greatest dangers that faces the congregation or the church nowadays. It really is. I mean, as time passes and as issues arise, you see a lot of congregations just accepting what the world says just to make people feel better or just to get people in through those doors. Does God want quality or quantity? Quantity. What good is a congregation full of people who aren't doing God's will? The moment you change anything in God's law, in God's word, it's no longer God's word. It's man's. Give me an example, a few examples of how some of worldliness is creeping into the congregation or to the church nowadays. Unscriptural marriages? Something there? Praise groups? Instrumental music? It's actually a very good one right there. Talk on that real quick. For a parent, I'm not a parent yet. Lord willing, maybe someday. But as a child, my dad was a very strict man. He loved me, but he was very strict with us. And nowadays I'm very grateful that he was with us. I am where I am because of my parents. But there are those parents that let their children do whatever they want because it's just easier. And as they get older, especially if they were raised in the church, maybe they go off, do their own thing. A lot of times, a parent, instead of standing up to the child, telling them, you know, this is not right, this is not wrong, then we just let them do it, just to maintain that relationship maybe with them. And it's especially a lot harder whenever a child is already a Christian, and then they leave the church. But there are rules and laws for that, which is another study at some other time. But sometimes we just don't stand up. Like they were saying, we just don't stand up to what's wrong. We just let it go because it's a lot easier to do. One of the things also I think about that's kind of crept into the church in certain places, and I've heard this sadly, is I like to call it soft preaching or easy preaching, where it's all, you know, rainbow and sunshine. And there's nothing wrong with preaching like that. It's good to have an uplifting sermon every once in a while, you know, to encourage the congregation. But sometimes we need some of that heart preaching. We need to be reminded what's wrong or what we're doing wrong. We need to be shown, you know, maybe the way I'm living right now as a Christian isn't the way God wants me to live. But a lot of times we don't do that. A preacher will come up here and preach what the congregation wants to hear, not what it needs to hear. And sadly, a congregation that has a preacher like that, or eldership that allows preaching like that, is usually a very weak church. The church that might have a lot of people, but spiritually is a dead church. And again, it's quantity versus quality. What does God want? Quality. One thing I always enjoyed about Brother Bonner's and Brother Mike's preaching, they like to do some hard preaching sometimes, and it's good for the congregation. We need it sometimes. But at the same time, they like to do some very uplifting sermons as well. Hopefully we get to hear some of that now with our Brother Mike here. Now, we read there in, lost the verse here. The word church is defined as what? Everybody should know this. What does church mean? I'm sorry, what was that? I heard several things. Called out. It comes from the word, from the Greek word, ekklesia, which means called out. Called out of what? We've been talking about it. What are we called out of? The world. The world and? World and sin. We are the church of Christ. The people that he chose, the people that he paid a price, his own blood, for us. He purchased us, so we are called out of the world. What are we called out for? Are we called out just to no longer be a part of the world and just be set aside and safe? No. We are called out for what? To do what? I can't hear back there, so I need to speak up if you gotta say something. God's will. To do what else? Keep his commandments. Let's get a bit more specific. What else? Spread the gospel. We're also known as living stones. What do you do with stones? You build stuff, right? You build and you grow. As living stones, we are to call other people to keep that structure growing. It is our job as Christians, as those that are called out of the world, to bring other people to God, to bring other people to Christ. It's a very good point. Never really thought about that, but you're right. I mean, we used to be part of the world, and we left it behind. And maybe the world sees that as, you could say, betrayal. A lot of us were raised in the church. I was raised in the church. Since a small child, grew up in the church, knew about the church. So I never really, I guess you could say, was part of the world, like maybe some of you who were before you were Christians. How many of you, just real quick, how many of you were not raised in the church? Quite a few of you, not raised in the church. Now, some of you became Christians maybe when you were older, in your teens, maybe as an adult. When that happened, how did how did your family treat you afterwards? When you became a Christian, it should have been different, especially if they're not Christians themselves. How did they treat you? Bad. Anybody else? A lot of times, and I've heard this from friends, other people I've known in other congregations, when they become a Christian, a lot of times their family pretty much disowns them. I've heard of brothers and sisters being kicked out of their home because they became Christian. Whether the family was religious or not, a lot of times because now they're different, they're treated wrong. They're treated differently because they would not conform to this world. And that's going to happen sometimes. As Christians, we are going to face trials and tribulations. I was told by a preacher a long time ago, said that if you're not going through trials and tribulations in your life at some point as a Christian, you're not doing something right. There's something wrong. Because all Christians will go through some troubles in their life because you are a Christian. That's a good point. Now, also you gotta remember, when you're a Christian, people are going to treat you differently, but at the same time, you yourself have to be different. You might have to treat people differently. You can't maybe hang out with the same friends you used to hang out, especially if they're maybe not good people to hang out with. You can't go to the same places they do, or have the same conversations you used to have. Sometimes we might have to lose several friends as Christians. Now, that should never be the goal of a Christian to alienate somebody or to say, I never want to be with you again. But if we are different, if we have truly changed, if we really are the Christians that we should be, sometimes that's going to happen. Because people, like I said, aren't comfortable with that. Especially if you used to be one way and then now you're a different way. Your friends, you'll see sometimes your friends are going to change. And they, sometimes they need to change. You've heard before, you know, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. And that has some truth to it. You know, if you are a Christian, people see you hanging out with people that probably aren't the best of people, what are people going to think of you? Oh, you just like them. How are you helping Christ? How are you helping the church by not being different? Now, we are also called saints, which means what? What does saint mean? I heard it over here. Set apart. Again, what are we set apart from? The world. We're called out of the world. We are set apart of the world. We need to be different. We need to let people know, hey, this group of people are not the same as us. And whatever comes with that, well, it will come. And it's our job to just keep moving forward. But again, just because we are set apart doesn't mean my job is done. I'm baptized. I'm saved. That's it. No. Your work has just begun. The moment you're baptized, that is, I've always considered that, myself personally, the first step to salvation. Exactly. You're supposed to be the light of the world, as we talked about it. If I were to turn off this light right here, and I turned on a match. A match right now, if I turn it on, you probably can't even see because of so much light. But if it's pitch black, and I could stand back there and have everybody stand back there, are you going to see that light? Yes. Because that's how different, and that's how different the light is from the darkness. And that's how we should be as Christians. People should be able to tell us apart from the world. Always. But sadly, sometimes it doesn't happen. We've all been there before. We've all stumbled, I guess, or faltered. We've all, at one point or another, thought, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. It's a lot easier. Whether I just don't want to deal with it, I'm ashamed of it, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I just want everything to be okay. Whatever the reason, we've been there. That's a very good point. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen it in other congregations before, how it'll sneak in to the church and people keep quiet. Why? Because maybe it's easier, or because the elder said it was okay, or the elder's not saying anything, or the preacher's preaching it. But everybody here, every Christian here has a job to do. Anytime somebody stands up here and preaches, it's the person preaching, it's their job to teach the word to you, the word of God. But what is the job of the people listening? Study it. To check it. Make sure that what the person up here is teaching is the right thing. A lot of times it's just easier to just sit there and listen and not do anything. Again, when we're set apart, We're set apart, but we also have a job to do. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to study, teach, preach, help others, not just set aside. Somebody that's just a tool, if you could look at it that way, we're just a tool for God. A tool that just sits there, is it any good? Is it doing anybody any good? No, it's just sitting there. It's just taking up room. In order for a tool to be useful, it needs to be used. Same as a Christian. A Christian who just sits there and does nothing is not really useful. You're just taking up room. You need to work. Now, a lot of times, as Christians, that we have escaped the world, a lot of us, and I say a lot of us because I've been guilty of this, we like to get as close to the edge as we can before we fall off. We have been called apart from the world. We have been rescued, you could say, it was a dark hole, we were pulled out of, now we're safe. But a lot of times we like to kind of peek over the edge just to see what's going on over there. I mean, I'm not in there, so I'm okay, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I'm just getting a little bit closer, just want to see. What do you think about that? Nate? Very good point. Jack, what do you say?
The scripture one kind of saying how close do you mean to really repent of the sin of the world, good relations.
It's a very good point. I mean, that's a good point right there. All very good points. As Christians, like Chad said, once you're baptized, you're supposed to turn your life around. The edge is there, stay away from it. And as you progress in your life as a person and as a Christian, that edge should get further away. You should be walking further and further away from it. But a lot of times we like to, like I mentioned, just try to get as close as we can without falling in. But what happens a lot of times? Without realizing it, you fall in. And I think sometimes the hardest thing for a Christian to do is to come back out of that hole once you fall in. Once you've fallen back into the world again. This is me personally. I've always thought this, that a person who is not a Christian, that leaves the world and becomes a Christian, it's a lot easier for them to do that versus a Christian who has left the world and has gone back to it. Because you chose to go back to it. A person that leaves the world is choosing God. A person who is a Christian that leaves God and goes back to the world is leaving God and choosing the world. So that attraction was more than staying with God.
You know what, maybe if we need to talk to people about this, it really does work like the world, it's like the
that's right. Now, one last point here, pretty much out of time here. As Christians, we, like I mentioned before, we're called out, we're set apart, we are not to be conformed to this world, but there will be times where we fall. You can say we're human, and I know it sounds like an excuse, but it's the truth. Nobody's perfect. It's our job as Christians to get up and keep moving forward. Whenever you fall, you need to pick yourself up and keep going. A lot of times people think, well, I'm not strong enough. Look at it this way. The apostles, people who lived with Christ, who worshiped with Him, heard His preaching, people who were there when Christ was here, even they fell away at one point. When He came to be arrested, a lot of them abandoned, ran away. What did Peter do? Denied Christ 3 times. Denied Him. And Peter, many of you would say, was probably one of the strongest Christians ever to exist. Would you agree? Probably. So, it's going to happen. Don't think you're invulnerable to this. It will happen. It's the truth. We are human, but that is not an excuse. It's not an excuse to just stay down or to just give into the world. It just shows that the life of a Christian can be hard. The life of a Christian is not going to be an easy one, but why do we do all this? I mean, why come here every Sunday morning, afternoon, Wednesdays? Why do we participate? Why do we preach the Word of God? Why do we sing? Why do we do all this? Because we love God. But what else? I mean, there's a reason why we do all this, right? When you do a job, you expect to get what? Paid, right? As a Christian, look at it that way if you like. It's also a job. What is your payment at the end of all this? Eternal life. If you do your job. No boss is going to pay you to not do your job. So, are we to be conformed to this world? No. As Christians, do not be conformed to the world. That's it.